In this week's podcast, we look at how Roku is bucking the streaming media player sales slowdown trend, how its success is reflected in connected TV growth in terms of views and ads seen, and why Comcast Xfinity TV customers appear to be watching more than ever, or are they?
This week's edition of the Video News In-Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon joins me. Hey, Colin, how are you from In-Screen Media?
I'm doing very well, Will, and I've been totally immersed in the earnings reports and a lot of companies reporting their results from last quarter this week, and I can tell you that's absorbed a lot of my time.
Yeah, and Roku is one of them, and we just talked about stream media player sales starting to flatten off last week on our podcast, but Roku seems to have really bucked the research that we discussed.
They do, Will. And so what we talked about last week was a couple of reports that we'd seen. One was a new one from Parks and another one from Comscore. And those reports basically said that streaming media player sales had flattened out. So Parks was saying 39% of broadband households and a 1% increase over last year. And Comscore said 49% of Wi-Fi households and also a 1% increase. Well, Roku announced their results yesterday, I think it was, and they showed something like really pretty different. They said that they saw a 36% increase in streaming media player sales, in player sales. And actually, I think there was a couple of comments in the call about how they'd done particularly well on Amazon's, I think they had a Black Friday or something sale.
Prime Day,
of course. And they did particularly well there. And it seems to have rubbed off. They got that got them a 36% bump over Q2 of last year. So how many players does that mean? Well, they don't actually tell us. But what we can do is I do a very simple sum. I take a look at how much revenue they attribute to their player business. And just divide it by 50. That gives us a rough idea, at least. And if you do that, you end up with about 1.6 million player sales. So they sold something between 1 and 2 million players in Q2, Will. And if we remember, there's something like, I think probably in the region of 30 million homes with a streaming media player in it. And so what that means is that they've sold a substantial, you know, something like 6% of that lot in player sales in one quarter. That doesn't sound like a slowdown to me, does it to you?
No, by all means it doesn't. And that's before talking about smart TV revenue for them as well. We don't know exactly how that broke out either. It's part of their licensing business, which is part of their platform revenue. But certainly it does not seem to align with what the research that we were just talking about last week. So a little bit confusing there. A couple things that jumped out for me at the financials were that, first of all, your back of the envelope is probably right on the number of player units sold. The margin on those units continued to come down. It was 5.5% in Q2 2019. That was down from over 22% in Q2 18. So there is some margin pressure on the player side, but it's more than being offset by the platform revenue, which again is a combination of ad revenue and the licensing revenue for the OS to the different third-party OEMs. And platform revenue was, up to almost $168 million in the quarter. That's basically twice as big as the player revenue business was. So platform revenue continues to be a big bright spot for the company, and gross profit on platform revenue is 75% up also. So pretty significant growth there.
Yeah, of course, they were on the earnings call, Will, they were pretty unapologetic about the margins. And the reason is simple, that their whole strategy, and you're talking about the margins on their different businesses, absolutely emphasize why they're just, you know, they're happy to let players, I think, go out the door almost at cost, because that drives the number of active users, which grew, active accounts grew 1.4 million and actually have grown nearly 40% year over year, which is pretty amazing. And that is the most important driver, of course, of their advertising revenue, which is what's driving their platform. So that's really their strategy, and continues to seem to work extremely well for them. And actually, this kind of ties in with some data that you threw out from Conviva, because with such strong growth of SMP sales at Roku, and the continued strong performance of connected TV, smart TVs rather, that seems to be having an impact on consumption through those devices, right?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Conviva had their new State of the Streaming TV Industry report out this week. And as you just mentioned, the connected TV category led with 143% growth year over year. Overall streaming video hours were up 130% in Q2 19 versus last year, but connected TV again leading with 143%, followed by mobile up 109%, PC up 75%. CTV now, according to Conviva, has an average of 28.8 minutes of watch time per play. So that's basically more than a TV show's worth of viewing, almost 29 minutes per play. So every time you sit down and fire up the CTV, the Roku or the Fire TV, it's at least a TV show's worth of content that's being consumed. And that far surpasses PC, which is just about 15 minutes per play, and even greater than mobile, which is 12 minutes per play. So Conviva said that overall, CTVs now account for 54% of all viewing hours, and that's followed by mobile at 23%. And they actually corroborated the Roku footprint. They found that Roku is accounting for 43% of time spent viewing on CTVs. And I think that's roughly in line with the market share that we saw Parks quote, wasn't it? About 43%, give or take, for Roku's market share last week?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much right, Will. And it's right in line, right? Because Fire TV and Roku have been sort of pretty much on a par in terms of streaming media player sales. But what really puts Roku so far out ahead is the fact that they're doing so well with smart TVs, the easily the most popular smart TV operating system in the US right now, on the back of their licensees, two of their licensees, TCL, which is now the biggest selling TV in America, and Funai, which has a couple of brands. I think Sanyo's one of them, and there's another one in there as well. And really, they're helping drive the big growth there at Roku. So that really gives them such a big lead in that market.
Yeah, totally agree. And before we leave the Conviva data, we have some other data we want to talk about as well. But just, I think one thing that really is feeding the narrative about the expansion in streaming hours on connected TVs, as Conviva pointed out, was the continuing improvement in quality of experience. So they call out four different metrics that they keep a close tab on, and those include video start failures, which were down by 35% in the quarter, video start time, which was just a little slightly faster in the quarter, buffering ratio was 42% better, and picture quality was 10% better. And I think all of that really supports the idea of the CTV user experience becoming kind of the new living room standard. And it wasn't that long ago, and obviously we both know that the quality of OTT video was still sort of sketchy. It was catch as catch can. And we see the data from Conviva really showing how quality of experience continues to improve. And I think that's what people expect when they sit down to watch on their big screen, whether it's through a Roku stream media player or Roku TV or Fire TV or you name it. They want a TV-like experience, and that's what drives longer view times, and that's what in turn helps to drive better monetization for companies like Roku and also lots of other OTT providers. So I thought that Conviva data really synced up well with what we're seeing in the larger S&P and smart TV space.
Yeah, it does, Will. And you know, the interesting thing about the Conviva data as well is that it's really focused, that they're really focused on premium content. So we're not really talking about YouTube or, you know, social video here. This is premium content data. Many of the premium providers are working with Conviva. And interestingly, it also includes linear, a lot of linear delivery, because I think last time I looked, four of the top five virtual MVPDs were also working with Conviva. So what that really tells you is that they're looking at the premium experience. And so if they're seeing this level of experience in the level of improvement in the experience, that's really with where the video that really counts. That's their high value television type viewing experience. You know, that sort of adds some credibility there to that data that they're providing us. So, but it's interesting to see the continued growth in CTV, and that seems to be the big growth factor in the market right now.
Yeah, and as if all of that isn't enough, there's actually also some data from Pixability this week, which has a buy-side platform primarily for social and CTV, and they released also some data showing that when they survey, well, first piece is when they survey ad agency executives that are running video ad campaigns, that Facebook is the most widely used. Doesn't mean it gets the most revenue, but it's the most widely used video platform for video among ad agency executives, followed by YouTube and Instagram, and then Hulu. But then Roku comes in pretty quickly, and Pixability noted that CTV was the fastest growing of the bunch, and also that view to completion is nearly 100% with both Roku and Fire TV, too. S&P CTV platforms that they tracked, and you really have to believe that, again, it feeds into what TV ad buyers are looking for, which is that TV-like experience, that 100% view to completion, the inability to skip. And the real big piece, I think, that's yet to come for the devices and smart TVs is greater engagement and interactivity. So that's the piece that the social platforms still lead on, but that's a big opportunity, I think, in the living room now.
Yeah, I wonder in that data, in the Pixability data, if they're actually talking also about the surging use by consumers of things like the Roku channel and Pluto TV. Well, is that something that's a separate buy?
Yeah, they didn't break that out. They just call it either Roku or Amazon Fire TV when it comes to the CTV side.
So it's just where it's, I guess it's where it's seen, right?
Yeah, subsumed in that, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing there, Will, is one of the things that I find really annoying about the Roku call and the fact that they don't break out exactly how well the Roku channel is doing. We know it's doing well, but we only know it's doing well because we see revenue and ARPU growing very, very strongly at the company. There is lots of other evidence, though, that these new fast free ad supported TV services are doing pretty well. Pluto, Viacom reported this morning and said that Pluto is now up to 18 million monthly active users. And that's actually a 50% increase over the January figure of 12 million. So that's 50% growth in just 7 months, which is pretty darn impressive. Now, of course, Roku's got, Pluto's got a lot going on there. Viacom bought it, and Viacom has actually been releasing a lot of channels on the service. They promised 13, and they're a good proportion of the way there, and that stuff from MTV, TV Land, and various other, Comedy Central, and various other Viacom properties that are really helping bulk up Pluto TV and really getting it moving. But that I think alone, these fast services are really expanding the amount of avails that can be bought dramatically in particularly in connected TV, right?
Yeah, no question about it. And I think all that pretty much dovetails with the data we've been talking about already.
Yeah. We seem to be in a virtuous cycle, Will.
Absolutely. Well, you had some other data this week as well that you wanted to touch on too, right?
Yeah, I did. You know, there was some pretty interesting data that came from Comcast. So Comcast Spotlight put out some interesting data. And I was surprised by this, Will. They were claiming that Comcast TV customers are really bucking the TV consumption trend. And that is, what we know is that, you know, tracking Nielsen numbers and other data, is that really television viewing is on the wane, that it generally, it has been decreasing. And what actually the Comcast data shows is a little bit different. What they say is they saw an increase of 6% in the daily time with the TV tuned to live TV or VOD or DVR in Q1. And in the previous quarters, time spent with cable actually decreased 1%, 6%, and 2% respectively for the previous three quarters. And that is, as I say, that's bucking the trend, because Nielsen data shows continued loss of time. And I think it was 6% year over year in the latest Nielsen report that was on Q1 2019. So that's a pretty significant increase. But, you know, I was thinking about this, Will, and I was trying to figure out, well, why are they seeing an increase while everybody else is seeing a decline? And I have a feeling it may not actually be that the people who are on Comcast system are watching more. That what's happening is that Comcast introduced this new policy where they're not going to bargain anymore with people that call up. And I suspect the people that are calling up to get a cheaper price are probably people that are maybe using their service a lot less, seeing less value, trying to get a better price, trying to decide if they want to stay. So when Comcast says, no, we won't deal, these people leave. So there are two effects that you'd expect there. One is you'd expect the ARPU to go up because, you know, people on cheaper plans and looking for a better price are probably more apt to leave. The other effect is that they're probably watching less. And so you'd also see the average length of time people view go up, because the people who are watching less have left. So yeah. I think that might be just responsible for the increase in time people are watching, rather than there being a big increase, you know, people actually really watching a dramatic amount more. So I don't know what you think about that, but I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, you saw that, I think, in the Nielsen data that you also wrote about this week, which is that people who use virtual MVPDs are watching far less than are those that use traditional pay TV. And so that would support the idea that if you don't watch as much and you feel like maybe you're overpaying with a traditional, whether it's Comcast or somebody else, and you go to YouTube TV or Hulu Live, that you are going to watch less.
That's exactly right, Will. So there we do have some sort of backup, right? You know, the people who are going to virtual MVPDs are probably people that are looking for a better price, because we, even though virtual MVPDs have been increasing their price, they still are a significantly better deal. And as you say, this Nielsen data, the Nielsen Local Watch report, what they did was, and I haven't seen this done before, so I was really pleased to see it. They broke out the virtual MVPD viewers separately. So you could actually see how much time these guys were spending watching live and time-shifted broadcast and cable TV. And the answer was, well, about two hours a day, 2 hours and 1 minute per day was what they said. And you could also see they broke out people who were traditional pay TV customers and also were streamers. So they streamed and they used pay TV. And those guys are watching twice as much, Will, 4 hours of time-shifted and live broadcast and cable TV. And the non-streamers, the people that only watch regular TV, they're watching even more, 4 hours and 26 minutes. So there's pretty strong evidence that those virtual MVPD viewers are watching significantly less.
Yeah, I think that stands to reason. What's not picked up in the data, which would be another interesting overlay, is I think how many streaming services that people who have a virtual MVPD subscribe to versus those that have a traditional MVPD. My hunch is that the, loosely call them cord shifters or cord cutters, are subscribing to more of the OTT services as well.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good bet, Will. As you say, you haven't seen that data. I haven't seen that data to corroborate that theory, but you could bet if we do, we'll be talking about it here on the podcast, right?
Yeah, I think that stands to reason. All right, well, Colin, we covered a fair amount of ground again today. I feel like hopefully we don't leave our listeners head spinning sometimes. We're quoting a lot of numbers these days, but it really is, I think, pretty cool to pull these different strands of data together. It helps us all, I think, get a better picture of how the industry is evolving.
Yeah, I agree. A good conversation as always, Will. Lots of data, but hopefully there was some good information amongst all of the data points.
All right. Thanks, Colin. Thanks, everyone, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News In-Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.